Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? This is the MMA Complex, and my name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And we are back. We did a, two-week hiatus?
Two-week hiatus, yeah.
Yeah. So I was out from, like, I had a vacation and went to Utah and did this whole thing and, you know, kind of quarantined a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you were a little busy, too. So we had to take the break. So we did, like, a two-week break.
It seemed like forever, but it's only like been while, 2 weeks, huh?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's only, no.
2 weeks ain't bad.
2 weeks isn't bad, you know, but it's good to be back.
Yeah.
Good to be back in here.
Yeah.
It is September 15th. It is Tuesday evening around 5 p.m. In lovely Los Angeles. And it is the fire is just a status report on everybody's who's curious, who's not in the state. It's kind of calmed down over here, I would say, a little bit, right?
Yeah. You know, it sucks saying this, but like, I feel bad for everyone who has to deal with the whole fires and people's house being burned down and just dealing with the whole dilemma of fires sucks. But on the greedy side, it's kind of cutaway summer. It's not, hasn't been hot because of the fires.
Yeah, you're right.
The smog kind of covered up the sun.
Yeah.
It's been kind of like, hasn't been cold, but it hasn't been hot either.
Yeah.
And we're at the terrible end of the summer. So I'm kind of glad that, not glad, I shouldn't say I'm glad, but it's kind of cool
it's cooled down and it's nice, but
because I fucking hate the summer, man.
The bad thing is you wake up and your car is all full of ash. The sky is orange.
It's weird how when it gets all hazy like that.
And then for me, when you have a kid that wants to get outside and do a bunch of like play outside and just be outdoors, like it's like
fire.
I can't take him outside. So for throughout the most of the fire for that week or so, 2 weeks or whatever, I kind of kept him indoors for the most part. But he was going crazy. But when it didn't smell too much like smoke and it wasn't too bad, the air didn't seem too bad, I took him out for like maybe a 10-minute, just a little trip around the block.
That's also important for a kid to be outside too.
Yeah. And then now that it's kind of calmed down, I let him out a lot more now. We can go out and outdoors and play a little bit. But yeah, I think he's still getting the hang of being outdoors and figuring out what he likes to do outdoors. And right now he just likes to be out, get in his little car and have me push him around or like around the block.
Explore,
watch the cars. He really loves cars. So he's like watching all the cars pass by. But that's it, man. It's been chill. The past couple of weeks. Yeah. How about you? We were talking about you had a pretty eventful few weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an open book. So, I'll just say it. Yeah. Like, I have to donate my sperm, but get my sperm analyzed.
Yeah. So, okay. So, you got a promotion at work, which is great. Congrats.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Then you spend a lot of money on.
Fuck, a lot too much money. God damn.
You spend a lot of money. You spend some of that promotion, your bonus on some nice jerseys.
Yeah. And I'm not.
Tell them what kind of jerseys
like
you buy.
Those. Like, I don't know. I've never been a sports guy, but since my nephew's been into basketball, he wants me to sit there and watch it with him because he enjoys being hanging out with me. So I watched it, and I've been getting myself into. I got into basketball this year, especially.
More. You're more of a casual, more so than I am.
Yeah, I love it now because my nephew got me all into it, and he has the NBA 2K on his fucking PS4. Yeah. So I play that with him. So, like, I'm balls deep into fucking basketball now. So, for his birthday, I bought him a Kobe jersey. There's ones that cost, they're called swingmen, where they're kind of ghetto, kind of like not, they're iron pressed, not stitched.
Yeah.
And those are like $60.
Yeah.
But the authentic ones are like, they run like $200.
Uh-huh.
And since it's for his birthday, I felt bad because he has to share his birthday with his sister. I said, fuck it. I have the money. I might as well just go out.
Get him something.
And get him a good one. Get him an authentic one. But when you buy the authentic ones, they fucking package them really fucking nice and has a card and everything. Yeah, and it's like NBA like stamp approval and like, all that good shit. But when I was there, I said, fuck, I want a fucking jersey for myself. But then I said, well, fuck it. They're fucking $200. But I'm all, they're fucking limited edition.
And you didn't buy one.
I bought fucking two.
You bought two.
I couldn't buy, I wanted the LeBron James one too, but I don't know. So when it was the total was like fucking $650.
It's a good amount of money, man.
Yeah, for fucking something that they you put on,
especially especially when you don't drop that kind of money all the time.
Yeah, and I just spent $1,000 on my laptop, this year.
Yeah, yeah. And you just booked yourself a trip for next year, hopefully. Yeah,
For Japan. My tickets were like $1,300 alone. This is the tickets.
Yeah.
Fuck. So anyways, I bought the jerseys and I didn't think much of it. But that morning I woke up in a fucking panic and fucking cold sweat.
Yeah.
Just fucking completely stressed out. Like, what the fuck did I just do? I felt like I was like hungover. I was stressed out the whole fucking day. But then I said, oh, fuck. You know,
Well, how do you feel about it now?
I'm okay with it now because I work the holidays, like our job will pay.
Yeah.
I'm working 40 hours with the fucking, with the new fucking amount that I'm getting for my promotion. Like, I'm going to be able to pay my rent like the first couple of weeks into my check. And the rest of the check is just for me.
That's good. So, okay, so your check is like.
It's good enough where I can pay all my bills and my rent like second or third week into the month.
Okay, cool.
And the rest of the check is just fucking for me. Just splurred. So I can like pay for my food, pay for all my bills, my rent, everything. Yeah. And still have a lot of money left over.
And then are you saving some of it? Are you like,
yeah. Putting like I usually put like $100 aside each check.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good, man. I mean, yeah, I think this year you've been treating yourself a little bit more than you ever have.
Yeah, because I hate spending money, especially on myself.
Way more. You like did a complete 360 on turn, or 180, whatever the hell on like treating yourself. So you're buying.
Because I figure like I'm getting up there in age. I want to take care of myself. I want to make sure that I'm good.
Yeah,
inside and out. And so I go, fuck it, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing it now.
So let's get back to your sperm issues.
Yeah. So I didn't get my sperm analyzed for fertility reasons.
Yeah, you're
not that I'm looking to have a kid. I just want to make sure my junk works.
That you want to make sure your junk works. Your girl wants to make sure she's getting herself checked out.
Yeah,
just in case the future, whether you guys have kids.
Yeah,
that
because it's been a year. That we've been, you know, not trying, but I've been fucking blowing my load in her, and she's not on the birth control.
So at this point, it's safe to say that you guys, if it happened, you guys are willing to be okay.
Yeah.
Actively trying, but your guys aren't actively not trying.
Yeah. Okay. Like I'm not there fucking putting a rubber on. Fuck that. All right. So, yeah. So, anyway, so, like, she's noticed, okay, well, it's been a year since I've been on the pill, and nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And she's getting worried because she wants to know, well, fuck, I don't want to wait too long where, I'm at an age where I can, if things don't work, I can get treatment and so be able to have kids.
Yeah.
Not where I'm like 40 and my eggs are fucking dead and I can't have kids.
Yeah.
So she wants to, you know, do that, but she felt bad. So I said, look, maybe it's not you, maybe it's me. So I'll get checked out myself. So this is where we're at. So the doctor told me, well, she didn't say, see, maybe she did tell me and I wasn't paying attention, but I was supposed to like fucking return my sperm in the cup within the 45-minute timeline. If not, it's invalid. And I did it way after the 45-minute mark. So I got to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
My girl wants me to fucking jack up her in her car, and I'm not going to fucking jack off in no one's car. It's fucking weird.
So you're asking her to like come pick you up?
Yeah, because I'd rather do it in my house, in my room, just fucking knock one out of the park.
Yeah.
Dump it in the cup, wash my hands, and that's it. And I'm good to go.
Yeah.
And she wants me to fucking go on the way to the doctor's appointment, just fucking jerk off in a car. I'm not going to fucking jerk off no one's she fucking car.
Bust a load in the sample bottle.
Fuck.
In the car.
Fuck that.
You guys talked about her getting out of the car and you staying
and
in the car.
And her walking away and I beat off. No, I'm not going to do that either. We're like, what if a security guard walks by and rolls up? I'm Mexican already, so that's already fucking a bad thing. I'm in the back of a Corolla fucking jerking off.
And fuck, then she also wanted you to do it at her house where her parents are at.
Yeah, fuck that. Her brother's door is like next door to the bathroom door.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be fucking beating off on the fucking, on the toilet with someone. No way. No.
Now, granted, it's not the jacking off process that's difficult because basically a guy could jack off
anywhere
and anyhow.
It's just knowing, people knowing that I'm doing it and.
People around, the mood. It's
I don't feel comfortable.
It's got all you know, be comfortable.
And, and I would hope that she understand that part. That fuck, it's not about me jerking off. It's about me being comfortable.
I propose a thing where she just, you guys get an Uber, do it at home, get an Uber over
there. So I might do that. I might just jerk off. Well, I didn't jerk off before 6:45 in the morning. I think 6:45 in the morning is my limit. Because my appointment is at 7:30.
Okay. And then for this thing, you can jack off 48 hours in advance?
Yeah, that's
no sex, no jack off.
Guys out there, oh God. I jerk off every night.
How often? Do you jack off every night? I can't do.
I used to.
How many times a week do you jack off?
At least 3 times a week.
3 times a week? Mine, not including like sex or anything like that.
Not including sex.
3 times a week.
I'm just fucking bored at home. I just want to be one out of the park.
No. That's like, I think it's a reasonable amount for most people.
Yeah. But that's my max. My average, maybe twice.
Okay.
My max, 3.
Okay. And then, so for me, I'm a lot less. I've always been like this. I don't know, ever since, I think, high school, maybe. I do maybe once a week.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I think for me, I don't.
What? Not like, including sex?
No, it'd be like sex maybe once a week. And then, okay, maybe I guess twice a week if you include sex.
Okay.
But.
Yeah. Like sex is, man.
But sometimes you don't sometimes you don't have sex, especially if you're in like a married relationship with a kid and all that. Sometimes it goes past you for that week. So
is it tough for you?
No. No, it's just, no, it's not really. Okay. I'm used to this now to where I think I like, I don't know. I think I'm already sensitive with my body to where I'm like, I'm really like, if it gets thrown off in any way. And because, you know, when you jack off, you do feel a little bit of like a energy dump sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Or like just everything's heightened. All your senses are heightened a little bit. You're a little bit more sensitive to certain things.
Yeah.
I don't like feeling that way. So I do hold off at least majority of the week. And then that's why I only do it once a week.
Okay.
Because I don't know. Then I'm more emotional. Like I am. Like it throws me the fuck off. Like it does.
Like afterwards?
Yeah, after.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm more emotional, either like more sensitive, more
quick, I just get fucking tired.
Quick to anger, more tired.
Like with me, like
just throws me off completely.
I mean, it is, I hope she's listening to this fucking podcast, but I don't know, like I'm okay with not doing it every fucking week. Like sometimes I go, fuck, can we just watch TV?
Yeah. I mean, it's good to have that problem. You
like,
know?
I'm okay without it. But, I mean, I average like once a week too.
Yeah.
Like every weekend. But I,
yeah. Even my girl's okay with it not being like an all the time thing. Like, we don't, it's not an all the time thing. So when we do it, it's kind of like a special little thing. But.
Okay. So it's not like an every week thing then?
It's sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a week. We might go 2 weeks without doing anything.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Okay, good. Good, thank God, because I come the same way.
Have you been in a, I've been in a relationship to where it has been a weekly thing, and I've been to where it's in a relationship where it's been too much, where I don't want it, but I can't do it.
Last relationship, we used to fuck like rabbits, and then I remember my last relationship thinking, fuck, I hope she's going to have sex and I'm fucking done with that shit already. And then, oh, fuck, she's getting naked. God damn it.
Yeah. I don't think I got a lot of guys like to admit that, but I mean, it is. It's true. No. Like, sometimes where you just like, you may have done it and then the next, they want to go that same night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's like 3 a.m. I'm fucking tired.
Yeah.
get away from me. I'm gonna roll over and go to sleep.
I'm the same way. Yeah. Like, I find myself doing that more now too. Like, I don't want to fuck, but I know you want to.
Yeah.
God damn it. All right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. But I like, with my wife and all that, I think we're on a good page where, it could be a little bit more at times, but.
As long as you guys are both happy
I think we're both content with it not being in all the time. Like, we don't need it. Like, you know what I mean? Which is fine. It's great.
Yeah.
It works. Works for me, at least.
Yeah. Oh, good. Because I was the only person that.
No.
But at least I'm okay with it not happening every week.
Yeah, no. Sometimes I think we need to be done a little bit more. But yeah. But yeah, no, that's good. You guys are open to the idea. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty good news. Yeah. What if it does happen? And
it happens.
It happens.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been like that. I mean,
yeah. She's the type, she wants a family, like, she's always kind
of... She's very family oriented, yeah. So yeah, she wants one. With me, it's like, I'm not a dude that just kind of goes around the, you know, goes along with the ride. If it happens, then great. If it doesn't, then great.
And as far
I don't need to have a kid for me to be happy.
No, and as far as your process and thought process, and is it like age? Is it like you found the right person to you're open to it now? What is it?
I think
a little bit of both.
Age, a little bit of both. Yeah, I think it's honestly a little bit of both. I think I'm comfortable, and I think my age too. I mean, fuck. I probably would be like one of those dads where like I'm like in their 60s, my kid's like a teenager kind of thing, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I mean, dude, I'm 35 next week. And then, so my son's going to be 2 this year. When he's what, 20? 55, I'm going to be like in the 55 range.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
That's young.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're young.
It's not too bad.
No.
But I mean, no, it's good to have it now because you don't want to be like.
I mean, we're 4 years apart, so I won't be too old.
No, no, you'll be whatever. In your late 50s. I'll be in the mid 50s.
Yeah,
yeah, it's fine.
It's bad. Yeah, but I'm not opposed to it. But whatever happens, happens.
That's good.
I just want her to be healthy, and she can have a kid. I don't give a fuck if she can't have a kid. I just want her to be okay.
Yeah,
health wise, okay. So
yeah. You want to at least have that option, at least for her sanity, for her mentality, for her, like, yeah,
this is all for her
confidence.
Because, like, for me, if she can't have a kid, so I'm, like, I'm
gonna, like, you'll be okay with it. You, yeah, guys have, I'm, you guys still have a lot to do, a lot to live, yeah, a lot to independence.
Yeah. There's always adopting. There's a lot of stuff that you can replace that with.
Yeah. All right. So you guys are open to the idea of adoption then, huh?
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I'm open to anything, man. Like I said, like, my only concern is her health, both physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. So I'm working with anything. I don't have I don't need a kid to be happy, to feel like, I used to feel that way. I used to feel like I'm like down on myself because I can't have a kid, but not anymore. I don't need to have a kid to feel like to feel complete.
Yeah. I mean, the kids are fun. I mean, it's crazy how much it does change you and definitely takes your
priorities.
Yeah. It rearranges your priorities. I mean, as long as if you want to be a good dad, a good parent, and you really care about it, it will like, it rearranges your whole kind of life, but in a good way. It's like you go, if you can still have your fun, you can still prioritize everything, but obviously your family has to come first. But you can still have your fun and do the things that you like to do. And it's just, now it's a lot more planning. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just like leave the house. You can't just like take a trip. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, if you want to go to a concert or movies or to a fight, you got to kind of like rearrange the house situation.
Yeah, before planning you head out. Plan everything out rather than just up and
that's,
leave.
That's really the only one of the things that changes in terms of your life.
But it's good for you, like, you have a good support.
Yeah, I got a great support system here at home. You know, my mom helps a lot. So yeah, we have a lot of help, and it's fun. It's crazy, like, seeing a smaller version of you. It's trippy. It really is. Like, it comes up every now and then in my head where I'm like, damn, like. Damn, I made that, dude. Like, it's like, or yeah, like, that's like,
that's crazy. That's like crazy to think about.
Dad, and you see him, and like, I see my son, and I'm like, I see little features of me. I see little like habits, and then I see little things of, you know, Liz, my wife, and then I see like, it's weird to see that. And then you're also always thinking about the future and, you know, how you're shaping their world, you know, in some way. You know what I mean? And yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It is. But it's cool though. It's cool. And then showing him all the different things to see what he likes. It's like, a lot of people like to buy a lot of things for their kids, a lot of toys. And honestly, it's like, it's not,
they're very simple.
It's very simple. Like, he like loves his cars, and that's basically it. The movies and cartoons, he picks and chooses what he likes, and he'll ignore everything else. Mm-hmm. And so you hopefully stuff that you like, he likes, and then you can like enjoy it. But no, it's cool. So there's that. And then, yeah, it rearranges your priorities, your life. But it's fun. It really is. It's crazy. It's like the changes that you see in the family dynamic, where like now it's like you're at the dinner table at a restaurant, and then yeah, it's crazy that you have this new addition there. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? It's out of nowhere. A year later, before he wasn't there.
Yeah,
and now you're
he's included.
Now he's there, and he's a part of like the whole
group.
It's crazy. It is crazy to like. It trips me out sometimes, but I don't know.
That's
yeah. Insane. So, I mean, we thought about adoption at some point as considered, but I think another kid would probably come up. Maybe this year, maybe next year, where we'll actually start
planning for one.
Right now, it's crazy, Corona times and all this stuff. It's
with work and
yeah,
all that good stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, there's that, man. But
alcohol. Do you want to tell the fans what we're drinking today?
Yeah. So we had some Screwball whiskey. I showed you this. Huh? I discovered
delicious.
I've seen this at the stores. I've seen this like, and I decided just to pick it up one day. My brother really mentioned it and gave it good reviews. Happened to try it, and I was like, dude, I gotta get myself a bottle. It's peanut butter whiskey, and this is straight up
peanut butter.
It's like.
Because a lot of like drinks out there, kind of like they say it's a peanut butter beer, for example. And
yeah,
you taste it, you don't taste no peanut butter.
No,
maybe this you taste peanut butter.
This you taste off the bat. It's like a melted candy bar with a hint of whiskey.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's so good.
It's dangerous because I could drink that whole freaking bottle and do some crazy shit. But it's good. It's a nice little like dessert kind of drink to have like at the end of the night. So yeah, I picked
I'm
up that.
I'm already buzzing off of that shit.
So. Yeah. We're gonna have another shot of that. These are from the King's Brewing Company, local in Rancho Cucamonga. That's this one's candy colada, and that one's pineapple
diesel.
These are like fruit infused beers.
Delicious.
For those people that really care about this stuff, it's like 7% alcohol. It's like a pint in each can. When you pour it out, it looks like you're pouring out juice, like pineapple juice.
Yeah.
It's like really thick. It has
that, like that dull juice.
Like that dull juice mm-hmm. kind of like consistency.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Delicious. So yeah.
These are the drinks for tonight.
This is why we're confessing over shit right now.
Yeah. It's fights, man. Let's talk about some fights in this MMA podcast here.
Did you guess that Michelle Waterson fight? God damn, that was a good fight.
That was a good fight, man.
Oh my god. I mean, I don't think Michelle won, but
I don't think so. Like, yeah, let's get right into that. So Bellator had two cards this weekend. We'll get into Bellator's in just a moment, but first we want to go right into the UFC's weekend. I enjoyed the card. I thought the card was great, and every fight was pretty entertaining. All the way from the prelims up the card, man, from the first fight on with Sabina Mazo, the Colombian what's her name, queen or whatever the heck.
Yeah.
she was on the show before. Yeah. A really nice person. She picked up a win with a head kick and then a rear naked choke. Brian Barberina picked up a win. Like this entire card from top to bottom
was
just great, man. It was fun. Zajara Eubanks and Julia Avila on the prelim main card. But Bobby Green picking up a win, looking great. You know, he's really on a roll. Kind of did a turnaround on his life. Took some time away. Now the guy's on a roll.
Yeah,
2-3-5 winning streak.
He was like losing it, dude.
He was like a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Like just mentally didn't seem like he was all, not all there, but just a lot of
distractions.
Outside distractions.
Yeah.
And now he seems like just full on dedicated MMA and just is looking better and better every fight. Just going in there confident. Mm-hmm. He's got that like. And he shouted out the Diaz brothers. He shouted out, who else did he shout out? He shouted out like a few other people, giving them like like inspiration for his newfound kind of like
love for the sport.
Yeah. Mm. Modafferi picking up a win against Andrea Lee.
That was a good fight.
That's a good fight, huh?
That was a good fight. Damn, Andrea Lee, man.
She's sexy, huh?
She's fucking hot.
She is, man.
She's so sexy.
She's remember, fit. She's
like
built.
We talked to her a couple of times.
Yeah, she's been on the show. She's been on the show. But
we're on her Instagram page. Do you know that?
Hmm.
Yeah. She posted a picture of us.
around that time?
Yeah, we were in Vegas. We're hanging out with Richard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We took a picture right there by the lobby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you go on here on her Instagram
page. It was after her fight, right?
Way up there on your Instagram page. But yeah, we're there.
Yeah.
She posted a page. A picture of us.
She's really cute. She's a really talented, really nice person. I was sad to see her pick up a loss here.
She had like marital issues, right?
Yeah. Yeah, big time marital issues.
Yeah, she got us beat.
Yeah, she got domestic violence. Her husband was accused of being a neo-Nazi.
Oh, that's right.
And then I think from that domestic violence, I think
she's a Trump supporter, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But I think he took off. We're gonna get to some Trump stuff too. I think he took off and like fled from the cops, or I don't know what the heck. I don't know if he's. I don't think they're together anymore. Mm. I don't think that, you know.
Well, hit me up.
And then Roxanne Modafferi picked up a win. I mean, she's still doing the damn thing. I mean, she's still going after it.
You know, she's annoying because when I hit her up to be on her show. You know what she told me? I don't do podcasts. And then a week later, she's a fucking Ariel's podcast.
Did she tell you that?
Yeah. So I wish something but the worst for her.
She definitely doesn't seem like a fighter. Like when people say like, oh, this person doesn't look like a fighter. Like Roxanne Modafferi doesn't look like a fighter.
No, I think the best part of her fight game is her dress up, her cosplay during the weigh-ins.
Yeah. Which she brought over from Invicta. She still does it. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really like that. I always thought it was cheesy. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Ottoman Azartar picking up a win. I know a lot of people like this guy because he's got some pretty decent knockout wins. Picked up another one first round. Mm. And then we get into main event. So the main event, Michelle Waterson versus Angela Hill. Back and forth battle, all five rounds.
Dude, Angela Hill is sexy. I'm sorry.
Yeah? Yeah? She's cute. Yeah, she's cute.
Yeah, I don't know.
She does it for you.
Yeah. She's got black thing.
She's a nice person, too, man. She's cool.
She's sweet, yeah.
She's cool.
Yeah, her husband's really nice to us, too. He's cool.
He's cool, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I always wanted
to... And Michelle Waterson's no, you know, slouch in the...
Oh, Michelle Waterson is attractive. She's hot as hell.
...department either.
Her and Holly Holm.
Yeah, they're like besties, huh? Yeah. Michelle, I don't know. For Michelle,
she's not very consistent.
No, you know what? Like, honestly, I was going into this fight rooting for Angela Hill. One, because I like her, and two, because I think she's been on a roll. And
she deserves that fight.
I thought she deserved the win.
Yeah, and I thought she won that fight. Yeah, I thought it was a back and forth fucking.
I thought it was a back and forth fight, and I thought it went down to the fifth.
And then
I thought she won. Yeah, the fifth.
Exactly. And then you look at Michelle Waterson's face. She looked like she got fucking hit by that truck. She had a big old fucking thing on her eye, she got beat.
And the people out there that are like, "Oh, it's a good fight. No one's a loser in this fight." I'm like, yes, but still, Angela Hill lost, and I don't think she deserved to lose.
She didn't.
I don't think it was. I think it was a close fight. But for the most part, is in agreement that it came down to the fifth round.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, I think Angela Hill won the fifth round. Clearly.
I completely agree.
Like up until like the last couple of moments when Karate Hottie tried to like fight back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, Angela was like landing punches and kicks on her and keeping her at bay. Like,
and she was pushing forward, man.
And she was pushing forward the entire time.
Yeah, she had octagon control. She had everything going for her.
I
thought that was an easy call, but I was like shocked when I heard same. Michelle Waterson's fucking hand game really.
Same.
Like, what?
Same. I mean, and like I don't want to say it was a complete robbery because it was a close fight.
Yeah, but that fifth round was clearly Angela Hill's
round. But it was
round.
Pretty close to a robbery. Yeah. It was fairly close to a robbery. And I know a lot of people aren't seeing it out there. And people are all on Twitter, all the fighters and all that. We're all like, oh, we won in this fight. This is such a great fight. And even Dana was all like, there's not a loser in this fight. Yeah, there is. Angela Hill lost. And I don't think she should have.
One person gets the win, bonus, and one person doesn't.
And one person gets a glory and move. And Karate Hottie is already, like, Michelle Waterson is already calling for a title shot or a number one contender. And
yeah, good
for,
with that.
And for me, she took her name out of the title picture when she fought Joanna. Because when she showed up, she did not show up at all for the Joanna fight and got shut down.
Down, exactly.
And I'm like,
that was a clinic that Joanna put on
and
that fight.
Joanna is what, number three, number four, and she shut you down.
And she'll do it again.
Yeah, and she will do it again. And I don't think, because of that, I don't think you deserve to be anywhere near the title. Like, I didn't think she deserved
this win. I completely agree with you. Yeah. You're completely right.
So I was upset too. I was disappointed that she got the win. I was just like, because I was like, I don't know.
Because like, I was just like one of the fighters that.
She put in a lot of work, man.
Yeah, she's always been a hard worker, but she's also been really kind to us. Yeah. She's never been one to like ignore us or like pretend that she doesn't know who we are.
And she's been improving and she's been looking good and she hasn't been in that title contention yet. And now she's on her way there.
And she's been in the game for a fucking long time.
She's been in the game for a long time. And then Michelle edges her out in a decision I don't think she should have gotten.
Yeah, I completely agree. It sucks for Angela Hill.
It does. But it is what it is. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. It just upset. When you see Michelle Waterson asking for a title shot after this or the winner, I'm like, you're not there. I don't think you deserve it, really. And so Bellator had a busy week, and they had two cards. Kat Zingano picking up a win off of her in her debut. She says she really loves it there. They're treating her good. And as far as we're concerned, people at Bellator are super nice. So I can't say that she's lying. I think they are treating her really well over there, and because that's how those people are.
Yeah.
Taylor Johnson defeating Ed Ruth in a heel hook. That was a crazy one. The Raymond Daniels fight, which opened up the main card, was kind of weird. You had Raymond Daniels doing two groin strikes in the first two rounds, and it went to a no contest.
You know. Sorry to hold you up, but I'm sorry to say this, but Bellator needs to do a better job of putting on their fights so everyone can see. Yeah. Just find that fucking Paramount Network on television is so fucking hard to do.
Well, I think they made an announcement. It's so difficult. They're moving to CBS Sports.
No, thank fucking God. Because they have great fights, but it's frustrating when you can't see them. And you try to go on their website, and you look on, like it's only the prelims that you can see.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
It is. I think they should... I don't know. They do the prelims on YouTube and on their website, and the main cards are usually on cable for free, so you can't complain.
Unless
really.
It's on DAZN, then
unless,
it's not.
Unless it's on DAZN, but yeah. So no, I agree. They're moving to CBS Sports. I think at the end of this year, I think is the new contract starts.
Yeah.
So I think that should. It's less people have CBS Sports, but I think it'll be easier to access. Mm. So. Phil Davis edging out Lyoto Machida again and getting a split decision. Not a very action-packed fight. Very calculated, back and forth, little one-shot.
Well, Machida, he's like Anderson, where he waits for his opponent to attack him.
Yeah. And it was weird to see him at light heavyweight again, huh?
Yeah.
He looked all like I want to say he looked bloated, but I've been used to him shredded and lean, that it was like, old Machida.
He's so fucking slow though, man.
I know. I think middleweight is where he should stay.
Yeah.
He still at least
he said it's tail end of his career.
Yeah.
And it's another guy that we've seen, you know,
from the
mega star to the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, but he looked good in terms of his physical abilities. He was able to get in and out like he always does. His movement would look really good. He is able to take shots. So I think as far as that's concerned, he still has it to compete. But I think middleweight is where he should stay. Mm. I think he's a little undersized at this moment to deal with big, young, strong guys. Mm. Bellator 246 on Saturday, same night as the Michelle Waterson Angela Hill card, was this past weekend too. Juan Archuleta picking up the vacant bantamweight title by unanimous decision over Patchy Mix. Juan Archuleta, one of those hardworking guys out from out here in Southern California, just really cool, really nice guy, really laid back.
He works with TJ, right?
Yeah. It was cool because I like the last time I went to a Bellator, I don't think the one you weren't able to go to, the one where I went up,
with Steve.
Yeah, it was me and Garrett in lobby, and then we're just hanging out with Juan Archuleta. And it was cool, man. Juan Archuleta was just chill, man. He's like, dude, I mean, just... casual, down to earth person, man, and to see him get a win was just really—that's
awesome.
Yeah, and Neiman Gracie defeating John Fitch, and by a submission heel hook, second round, John Fitch calling it a day in terms of his career.
Damn.
Officially retiring from MMA.
Good for him. I mean, he's been in the game for a fucking long time.
A long time.
And he was gracious with his time with us.
Yeah. Super. I mean, dude, for us, it was like to get John Fitch.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, for him to be on the show. And if you haven't seen the show, I think you guys should check it out. Check out our interview with John Fitch. It was maybe a year or two ago. Year.
Yeah. And he went on out. Like, he promoted our show.
Yeah. He promoted a show. He came on, gave us time. Super nice. Like, I mean, treated us like we were Era Hawani.
Yeah.
I mean, a super nice guy, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, nothing bad to say about the guy. Like, the
no,
guy,
hell no.
One of the toughest guys in the welterweight division ever. Yeah. One of the best of all time. And
he was never the most exciting guy, but he was a gritty, dirty in your face kind of fighter.
Yeah, had some great wins, had some losses, but always
he's been in some really big fights too.
A lot of really big fights in both organizations. And has been around for a long time. Still looks the same at like 40 years old.
Crazy.
And looks good, and now he's calling it a day. So it's good for him.
Good for him.
Hopefully all the best, and everything's good for him. That he's set financially, and that he's good.
Mm.
Liz Carmouche made her way over to Bellator and picked up a win versus Deanna Bennett. And then that's pretty much the card for the most part. Good week. Good card. Good fights over the weekend.
Yeah, fun fights. And another fun fight coming up this weekend too.
Yeah. Also, one championship had a nice event, and LFA had a nice event last weekend too. So, can mention those guys. And then let's get to this weekend's cards. All right. And tonight you have Dana White's Contender Series. Make sure you guys check that out. It's ESPN Plus. That's going on right now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Invicta 42 Cummings versus Zapatella is tonight, or not tonight, this weekend, this Friday. Alicia Zapatella is very attractive too, so in case you guys are wondering. One Championship has a fight this weekend. And then you have a really good card as far as the UFC is concerned. This weekend, from Las Vegas at the Apex Arena. This is headlined by Colby Covington versus Tyron Woodley. Now, before we get into the card, I don't know if you've seen the stuff that was coming out today. So several UFC fighters joined the President of the United States today. Mm. You had Ali Abdelaziz, a manager. You had Henry Cejudo.
Mm.
You had Colby Covington.
Yeah.
And then, let me get the whole roster here. There's a few of them, not a lot, but a few guys. Justin Gaethje. And that's pretty much it. And Dana White himself. Now, Colby Covington, we already know. Huge Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Whether he's exaggerating the gimmick at all, but he still loves it. He still likes the guy regardless.
Yeah.
Masvidal, we know, is a Trump supporter. He's gave his reasons.
What did he say?
Yeah, he's touted more of like he's a business guy. He's a, you know, he's a savage. He's made his own way. He's he's a low unemployment for, you know, black and brown. America first. I don't know what the fuck. Those are his reasons.
Interesting.
He knows that he's gonna get a lot of hate for being Latino and supporting Trump. He knows he's gonna get a lot of hate, and he knows this. But he's like, I still like the guy. But he's not in your face like Colby Covington, which is whatever.
Yeah.
Dana, we know Dana has loyalties. He's got to be loyal to Trump because Trump helped him out very early into his tenure in the UFC. Justin Gaethje, not a very talkative person.
But not surprising either.
Surprised me a little bit. Not really, though. I mean, the guy's, you don't know, he doesn't say a lot, so you don't know where he leans politically or what he even really likes to do in life.
Yeah.
I know he's got a lot of friends that are Hispanic. He's half Mexican. So half of his family's.
Oh shit, that's right.
Yeah. Now some will say that doesn't really shouldn't matter, but it kind of does matter when it comes to this president, because he does alienate a lot of, you know, his voters, and if there are Hispanics that do support him, and there are a lot more that don't because of the way he views Hispanics.
Yeah.
Now some like to, you know, put aside some of the crazy shit he says or some of the politics of it all and get down to the basics, and that's what they kind of say as the reasons why they like him, as opposed to why a lot of people don't like him. The one that surprised me a lot though was Henry Cejudo.
That makes no sense, because that guy's fucking hardcore Hispanic Mexican.
I think the most Mexican like fighter on the roster currently.
He has a thick accent when he talks English.
He's got a Latin accent. Mm-hmm. He's super Mexican. He looks super Mexican. Mm-hmm. His mom is immigrant from Mexico.
So much so
that she couldn't even go watch him in the Olympics because she doesn't have a visa to travel. And as a Trump guy, I don't get that at all. I don't get it at all.
Stop his face, not only to his family, but to his culture.
Yeah. Especially because I don't know what the reasons are for Henry Cejudo back. Maybe he just went
especially Trump's policies when it comes to immigration.
There's people at the border right now in basically concentration camps that are people trying to immigrate to this country that they're just detaining in these camps instead of like releasing. It's like they're keeping them in these fucking detention centers. People that look like him, people that are like of the same ethnicity as he is.
Yeah.
His views on Hispanics in this country and his views on immigration and his views and his far right supporters and their views on Hispanics and minorities in this country should be enough, way more than enough for most Hispanics to not support the guy. But people choose to pick and choose. They choose to pick and choose what they want to see and what they don't want to see and what they want.
Do you think it's because his team supports him?
I don't know. I think,
but still, even
his manager, even Abdelaziz,
they should be your own person. Even then. Yeah.
So he went there on his own accord. He didn't have to go. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Coming from him,
he's going to alienate a lot of his fans too from that shit.
Yeah, and if you read his comments, if you read his posts, because he posted up a photo of everybody there, I think, or like him with the president. All the comments were like
traitor.
It kind of like you basically. It changes my view on the guy.
I'm
not a Trump guy.
Oh fuck no!
No, and I know people that are. But they don't throw it in your face. Mm-hmm. Or I know people that want to make excuses to like them. Or a lot of them are like single issue voters, and you know, maybe they're anti-abortion or they like guns. So they're a little bit more religious, and he's got basically the most religious vice president that we've ever really had. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can see it and I get it and I understand it, and I don't throw it in your face or whatever you bring, come at me, I'm going to come at you though. I don't like the guy. The reason I don't like the guy, I can live with the guy if he wasn't so polarizing. I can live with the guy if he wasn't so like dividing. And that's where I have a problem with him, is that he's so dividing. When he has a chance to say something good, do something good, he doesn't. And I think for the sanity of this country, I think we need somebody different. We need a break from everything.
Yeah.
And he, that's why I feel he needs to go.
For Fabrina, like the United States, it's
very divided right now. Yes. And I think he's a big part of it because it starts from the top down.
And I think the whole thing with the coronavirus, like you can blame him because he always came out without a mask.
Yeah.
And all his supporters don't wear masks because of that.
He's still denying it. And yeah, I mean, the severity may be not what we thought it was, but it's still a real thing and it's still affecting everybody. The guy is not a leader, and he doesn't make good decisions for the people of this country.
Yeah, he just put his country first.
He makes good decisions for the people that look like him, mm-hmm. and he makes good decisions for himself. But that's it. And so it's like, you know, if you're gonna do some shady shit, I admire him in a way that he does shady shit in front of people.
Yeah.
Because even Biden and all these Kamala, I'm not a fan of theirs either.
No.
But the reason I'd probably vote for them is because it brings some, I hope, a calmness to this political scene.
A balance, yeah.
And then we can just, because right now it's like just infesting everybody's lives.
It's toxic, yeah.
It's toxic. It's social media everywhere. You can't escape it, man.
No.
So that's why. So when I saw Cejudo on there, I think it surprised me a lot. It did change my views on him. It makes me wonder what his reasonings are for supporting a guy like this, especially when you're a Mexican-American kid and your mother, who barely speaks a lick of English, who's not, I don't even know if she's a citizen of this country, mm-hmm. like a legit full-on, maybe she probably has a green card,
mm-hmm.
but she doesn't really speak any English. We've seen her on countdown shows.
Yeah.
Not saying any English, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's my piece on Cejudo, whatever. Politics are a thing, but when you have a president that's very divisive, it's hard to support a guy that, given the chance to do the right thing, say the right thing, doesn't do it for the majority of the country, not his 30-something percent. And that's why it's hard to back this president. And you hate to say that, and you want to be pro-America, but when you feel like America's not going for you and your people, and most people, it's unfortunate. So off the politics thing, we'll see what happens in November, but off the politics thing, great card this weekend, ESPN 36, all on ESPN Plus, Covington versus Woodley, and we're going to get to that card right now. So this weekend is a fantastic card. Masard Bektik on the prelims, Jessica Rose Clark on the prelims. Jen, have you seen Jessica Rose Clark on her Instagram and all that?
No, but she's always been good.
Yeah, she's a fit Australian, very pretty, tattooed, but like just takes really sexy photos. Even I don't know if she's trying that hard to be. I dig her, man. Main card, Kevin Holland versus Darren Stewart. Mackenzie Dern making her return against Randa Markos. Ryan Spann versus Johnny Walker. Ryan Spann, I think, both of these guys, Johnny Walker from the Contender Series, made their guys that came off there. Kazma Chiamev, who is a freaking savage and has been tearing the guy, the fighter of the summer.
He hasn't lost a fight. He fought two fights in one night.
He's facing Gerald Marshall. The thing with Cosma is they have him double booked. They have him with Gerald Marshall, and then they have him with Damian Maia 2 weeks later.
Oh, shoot.
So it's going to be very interesting. For Gerald Marshall, it's very disrespectful to have a fighter who's double booked already going into your fight.
Yeah.
They're expecting to win. Now, Dana's saying, we're not expecting these guys to win or lose. It's going to be is what it is. Now, he either wins or he loses. It's up to him. We're just booking him with fights. He wants to fight.
Yeah.
Medical issues are going to determine whether he makes a second fight. But UFC is banking on that wins or doesn't come out, coming off of a loss with too much damage.
Yeah.
So, but Cosmo is a freaking beast. I favor him in this fight. Yeah. His next fight will be against Damian Maya. I kind of favor him in that fight too.
His wrestling is fucking badass.
His wrestling, his submission game is pretty good. Mm-hmm. His striking is pretty good. He's a tall, lean, long.
And Damian Maia is up there in age.
Savage. So. And Damian Maia is in age, yes. And Gerald Marshall is a little bit more one dimensional. I think he's more on the ground aspect of the game. So,
yeah.
Then you have Donald Cerrone versus Nico Price. Very interesting fight. I think this is, Donald is what, 3 or 4 losses in a row? All against top level competition, but this is going to be a pretty pretty dicey fight for Donald Cerrone against Nico Price, who's a savage. He's a relentless, no joke. I think technically Donald Cerrone is better. I think he's better striking, better submissions, better everything.
But I don't see him pulling off this fight.
I don't know if I see him pulling off this fight.
Me either.
I think Nico Price is a guy that you have to freaking knock him out
to
put away.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Donald Cerrone can't do it. I'm not saying this is a winnable fight.
I just don't favor him. Yeah.
At this point in his career, I don't favor him. No. I don't know. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very difficult. Saying he can't win. I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
No, me either.
And what would you say about Donald if he loses this fight? Hang it up? Is it time?
I think so. Yeah.
You recent 4 or 5 losses have been to the upper echelon division.
There's no excuse for this fight.
And you're now in that middle division, mm-hmm. lower division of the top 10.
He's fought the who's who, so.
Yeah, I think for your legacy's sake.
Stop now.
After this fight.
Yeah.
If you lose.
Don't become Ken Shamrock.
No. Yeah. No. And then Covington versus Tyron Woodley. I mean, the betting odds aren't in Woodley's favor, and rightfully so. He's looked like shit this past 2 fights.
He has.
Hasn't won a round in the past 2 fights.
I can see Kobe beating him.
I can see Kobe beating him bad. Like,
I'll pick Kobe.
I pick Kobe too.
Yeah.
I can't say that Tyron Woodley can't land a good punch. Maybe he turns it around and comes out like a savage, but it's unlikely.
He's going to have to fight Kobe's fight because Covington is a slow starter and he just waits for his opponent to attack. And Kobe's going to be in his face.
Kobe is relentless and got a great striking, great wrestling, tough as nails, good solid chin, and cardio for days. He's a nightmare for a guy like Woodley.
Yeah.
It's going to be a beatdown, man. I don't know, man. It's going to be bad.
I agree. I don't see Woody surviving that storm.
I don't
either.
I'd be very surprised. I don't know. It's going to be... I mean, I can't say he can't... Because he's a former title holder. He's Tyron Woodley. I can see it happening. But it's unlikely.
But styles make fights. This is the best style.
Styles make fights. And at this point in his career, Tyron Woodley has shown that maybe his best days are past him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because even looking at the Darren Till fight, he came out aggressive, moving, I mean, taking chances, throwing bombs. And then you go to, like, the Usman fight. You go to the, what's his name, Gabriel Burns fight. Gilbert Burns fight. Flat, no emotion, no energy, just gets manhandled for combined probably an hour. I mean, it's like almost an hour. It's sad, you know. I think he should call it a day, get a job with TMZ, full time sports, do acting, do movies, do music.
Yeah, why fight?
Why fight? For legacy's sake, another guy. For legacy's sake, if you lose this fight, call it a day.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
I don't.
I agree.
But either way, it's a good fight, good card.
Yeah,
if you got ESPN Plus or $5 a month for $4.99, you know. It's a great card. Great weekend of fights. And thank you guys for being on the show, joining us on the show. They're not sponsors, but thank you to Screwball and for King's Brewery for supplying us with some alcohol in this episode.
Yeah,
unofficially.
Yeah.
But yeah, catch you guys all next week.
Enjoy the fights.
Until then, yeah.